welcome to our podcast where we're diving into the fascinating world of gut health, exploring the wellness benefits of dairy, and debunking common misconceptions surrounding lactose intolerance. Joining us in the studio is Professor Corina Walsh from the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics at the University of the Free State, who will share insights on why a happy gut is your key to overall well-being. From yoga to Amazi, discover how dairy delights can elevate your wellness game. This podcast is brought to you by Milk SA's Consumer Education Project. Corina, this is a fascinating subject, and I think it's one that is actually overlooked a lot, gut health. So what is it? Just explain in layman's terms. What is gut health and why is it so important?
Okay. So we want to ensure that our gut is as healthy as possible because the gut has got very important functions for health. So as you know, the gut extends from the mouth through the esophagus to the stomach, small intestine, large intestine, to the rectum and anus. And in all of those areas, the gut has critically important functions for human health. So as an example, we want to make sure that the microbes that we have in the gut have got a good diversity. So we want a balance between, we want them to be healthy microbes. So the gut microbiome consists of trillions of bacteria and other microorganisms as well that are critical to the health of the individual. So in the small intestine, most of the absorption happens, but going on to the large intestine, that is the area where fermentation takes place or where we find products of fermentation. And those products, not only the microbes, but the products that they produce, like short-chain fatty acids, have got critical functions for human health. So this extends from not only being comfortable in your gut to your brain health, your experience of depression, stress. It goes to the development of chronic diseases. Firstly, before the chronic diseases, the development of obesity. And then we know that the result of being obese is that you are more likely to develop chronic diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, hypertension. So by looking after your gut, you can actually reduce the risk of developing all of these conditions.
So two things. So the question is, where does it start? Now, you mentioned obesity, so for me, I'm thinking, okay, too much McDonald's, right? That's going to be.
Yes.
So let's touch on adults as far as obesity, but also it starts at birth as well. So it's not necessarily a bad diet.
Yes.
Or lack of. So let's touch on both those, please.
Okay. So if we start with adults and you say obesity, you're quite right that it is linked to McDonald's and unhealthy eating habits. So we know that people that eat a lot of fat, that eat a lot of protein, of animal protein, often have got an increased risk of having an unhealthy microbiome. So feeding the microbiome with healthy food, such as high fiber foods, dairy products, increases the chance of having a healthy microbiome and a lower risk of developing those obesity and those chronic diseases. Also, you know, dairy foods are rich in a large number of micronutrients, good carbohydrates, very healthy source of protein as well. So this is almost an idea of the type of diet that people eat. People that use dairy products often also eat more fruits and vegetables, have got a higher fiber intake, eat less salt, eat less sugar, eat less preserved foods. And all of those in combination are going to contribute to what your gut microbiome looks like.
And I think with the healthy foods, especially with dairy, which again, I love my yogurt and my cheese, it's satiety.
Yes.
So I think that satiety is such a, again, if you're eating nonsense, you're always feeling hungry.
Yes.
So there's positive ripple effect when you consume the right proteins and dairy and so on.
So we talk about the food matrix, and if you take the dairy matrix, it is that combination of elements from micronutrients to the lactose to the, you know, everything that's present in the dairy that has got such a beneficial effect that the individual components would not have on their own, or it's got more of an effect because it occurs in the dairy matrix. And you mentioned now satiety. So if we're eating carbohydrates with proteins and fats, we find that we've got a slower movement of food through the gut. So that results in a slower spike in blood glucose levels.
And that's the full for longer.
Yeah, full for longer. And you've got a more controlled, regulated blood glucose levels. And that impacts how you feel quite significantly.
On energy and so on.
Yeah.
So that's adults. Let's talk about babies and at birth.
Okay. So the gut microbiome, we used to think that babies were born with a sterile digestive system, but we know now that that's not the truth. But a lot.
Can it be inherited, by the way? Or is it, is it a neutral? It
definitely, I think it's got a, it's a combination of genetic and environmental factors. So, you know, we also inherit the environment that our parents come from. So if you're born into a household where fast foods are eaten, large amounts of sugar sweetened beverages, then you as a child eat that kind of diet as well.
It's the culture of the household.
It's the culture of the household. So it's a combination of genes and environment that determines the health. So in babies, if we look at how babies are born nowadays, you can either be born by normal delivery or cesarean section. And if a cesarean section is indicated, really indicated, then obviously we wouldn't say don't go for a cesarean section.
Yeah, if your mother's life, baby's life is
that is so
at risk.
But I think in many cases, elective cesarean sections are done because it's convenient. People want to know the date that the baby will be born, and you know it is more convenient.
Social media friendly.
They think it's more convenient. Unfortunately, a baby born via cesarean section, the first organisms that that baby is exposed to are those that are present in the delivery theatre. So it's not the natural organisms that are present in the mother's digestive system or in the birth canal.
And that's literally rubs off.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So we talk about babies being seeded with their mother's microbiome. So the microbes that are present in the mother's body, the baby. So the first.
Is that like a natural fecal transplant?
I wouldn't call it a fecal transplant.
but it's a natural process of taking on exposure.
Yeah, exposure to those organisms. And those that the baby are exposed to are those that obviously are first to enter their gut as you breathe and as you swallow in during the birth process as well. So that plays an important role in the types of microbes we will find in the microbiome of that baby. The second thing is the way that babies are fed. So babies that are breastfed have got a completely different microbiome to babies that are fed with infant formula. So the infant formulas have come a long way, and we can put in them a lot of what is in breast milk, but there are some things you cannot put into an infant formula that are present in
like what's in missing breast milk. In an infant
so like
formula.
The microbes.
I see.
You know, so the mother's microbes.
Got it.
The other thing that influences the gut microbiome at an early age is the exposure to antibiotics. So many children, if they really need an antibiotic, then obviously that can save a life. But many children use antibiotics that would probably have become healthy or recovered from an upper respiratory tract infection or something without the antibiotic. And unfortunately, the antibiotic doesn't only kill the harmful bacteria, but also the good bacteria.
Everything.
So it takes a very long time to get back to that place that you were. And as I mentioned earlier, your diversity, your gut microbiome influences so many other factors. Allergy is one example. So
is that an example? So coming back to what is that ripple, negative ripple effect from a cesarean through what are the, so allergies is one of them for the child.
I can also mention that nowadays something that is being done in theatres is what they call a sensitive cesarean section, where they still seed the baby with the mother's vaginal fluids and so on to give the them the chance to get access to those organisms. Okay. But that's something that only happens in certain settings. But I think there is promise in that seeding that can be done.
So the fact that there's doctors understand now what the real impact is and trying to address it.
I think people are becoming more aware, but I still think there's many people that aren't aware of the impact of the mode of delivery, the antibiotics that babies are given, the type of food that they are fed.
Yeah. So let's talk about, so this is, it's a negative stuff. I mean, obviously coming back we talked about depression. I mean, so again, in adults, again, there's a lot of nasty stuff that can come from a messed up gut. What helps with it? So let's get to what is the solution? Now, either cesarean born, it's not my decision. How do I deal? We talk about lactose intolerance. We talk about fermented foods. Or what's the solution now to this problem?
Okay, so I think starting with a healthy diet, so breastfeeding, recommending breastfeeding when at all possible, and then weaning children on a healthy diet. And making sure that they eat a nutritious diet. So we want to make sure that they eat healthy fats, that they eat carbohydrates that are unrefined with plenty of fiber. And then I think what I can describe to you now is the two terms called probiotics and prebiotics. Okay. So probiotics are the organisms that we've just spoken about that we do get, the healthy organisms that we find in the gut. So probiotics are also present in fermented foods. And those probiotics have a very beneficial effect in the gut. So certain fermented foods such as dairy products, and here I'm thinking specifically of yogurt, amasi, cheese that are fermented, have got the benefit of providing the organisms themselves, the probiotics, but also improve the production of the products of those probiotics, like short-chain fatty acids, which have got a lot of positive effects on health in the gut. And then the fermented foods have got a lot of beneficial functions. They help with preventing the adhesion of unhealthy bacteria to the gut. They improve the risk for decrease the risk for developing diarrhea and constipation, all of these which are associated with long-term health risks.
Yeah.
They help to maintain blood glucose levels. They even help with diminishing progression of cancer cells. So there are so many positive effects of including fermented foods in your diet. Then the second aspect is prebiotics. So the probiotics, as I said, are the microorganisms. The prebiotics are the components that feed the probiotics. So prebiotics can be fibers. And one example of a prebiotic is lactose, which is the carbohydrate or the starch that we find in milk. So lactose,
it's like milk sugar.
It's milk sugar. That's correct. Exactly yeah. What it is, yes. So the lactose has got a positive effect on health, also a number of positive functions. And the most important, I think, is its function as a prebiotic, feeding the organisms that we want in the gut, the healthy ones, to help them to thrive.
So touching on that point, so I mean, that's fascinating. I never knew the probiotics need to be fed. So that's very interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. But now you've got lactose intolerance. So again, there's a bit of a myth. I mean, it's real, but there's a myth around it. So unpack that for us.
Yes, okay. So many people consider them to be lactose intolerant when they experience symptoms such as bloating, pain, digestive, uncomfortable gut, when they drink large quantities of milk. And then they mistakenly think that they need to exclude milk and dairy products from their diet, when this is really not the case. And if we look at the benefits of including dairy foods in your diet, it really is a health risk to exclude dairy. You know, there's no way that you can, or it's very, very difficult, for example, to consume enough calcium and magnesium if you exclude dairy products from your diet. So in people with lactose intolerance, what happens is the lactose from the milk or the dairy that they're eating gets into the digestive system and causes these can cause these negative symptoms. But there are many things that a person can do to still consume dairy. So a large number of the world's population are lactose intolerant or do not have the enzyme lactase that we need to break down the milk sugar into smaller components so that it can be digested. So they've got a lower activity of lactase in the gut. But there's also a benefit of the lactose not all being fermented or reaching the large intestine, the colon, where it can be fermented. Because the products, the short-chain fatty acids that are formed when lactose is fermented in the colon, actually have these beneficial health effects that we spoke about earlier. Mm. So it's not a disease to have lactose intolerance. It almost has a little bit of a benefit.
And it's not an allergy either.
It's definitely not an allergy. So cow's milk allergy, when we talk about an allergy to milk, we're talking about the protein in milk, and a very small percentage of the world's population are cow's milk protein allergic
to it. So it sounds like a lot of people confuse it with that.
They confuse it, and it's completely two different things. And also the lactose intolerance, as you hear now, is not a disease. Mm. So it is something that we just have to manage. And there are a number of ways of looking at how you consume dairy products that can help you to still eat your dairy products, still get in all those beneficial nutrients without excluding it from your diet.
So if you can't consume milk, which is the prebiotic, how do you feed the probiotic other than milk?
Yes. Okay, so yogurt's got the probiotics in it, but we can still consume milk and dairy products if you feel you are lactose intolerant or you experience the bloating and the pain with ingestion of large amounts of milk. Firstly, to decrease your intake of fluid milk. So a person with lactose intolerance can still tolerate up to a cup of milk a day without it causing symptoms. Okay. But we can also use the fermented dairy products. So during the fermentation, most of the lactose is fermented to lactic acid, which means that we don't have the lactose there anymore. So consuming foods that are fermented, such as yogurt and amasi, will definitely reduce the symptoms as well. And then cheese is a food that contains almost no lactose. So during that fermentation, cheddar and Gouda cheese have got almost no lactose. So it's not necessary to exclude dairy, but just to look at ways. Then, of course, we've got lactose-free milk on the market now. It might be a little bit more expensive, but it has the benefit of you being able to get all the other benefits of consuming milk without the lactose. So you can use lactose-free milk. There's also a little tablet, a lactase tablet, that people can drink with milk, which will provide the enzyme that might not be doing its job as effectively as you want it to.
Yeah.
That can also be taken. But it really isn't necessary to exclude dairy from the diet.
And it's quite fascinating. I didn't realize that up to a cup. So almost, I want to say, unless you want to drink a liter a day, you don't need to use lactose-free milk.
If you're also eating yogurt and you're also eating cheese, you can get in your three portions of dairy a day, which is what is recommended. The other thing that I forgot to mention, thinking of it now, is that your fat in dairy helps food to move through the gut slower. So if you're using full cream milk, it'll probably have a better effect than fat-free milk for lactose intolerance.
So speed equals slower speed is better.
Yes, the slower it goes through the gut, the more time there is to absorb the lactose. It's not all there at the same time.
Like with milk.
Like with fluid milk that might be low fat.
Got it.
So the full cream, even interesting to see, they find that chocolate milk also has less of an effect of producing intolerance.
I think you just converted 100,000 kids and adults. Yeah. That's very interesting. Lastly, I just want to touch on the intolerance, lacto-intolerance, or the fact that again, it's how you almost educate the bacteria or feed it, right?
Yes.
The micro. I mean, you've got Africa, and East Asia, again, lactose intolerant. And with that, so let's touch on that quickly. And then the French, we talk about cheese, I think about French and I think about the Dutch. And you mentioned something interesting about the Dutch. But again, these people, I wonder how much they consume on a daily basis, but they fine.
Okay, yes, dairy consumption is much higher in European countries. So it's an evolutionary process that has taken place over many generations as well, where people moved to Europe and started farming. So that domestication and pasteurization, as we call it, meant that they had more dairy products available. Milk.
And the Dutch started with that.
The Dutch. Well, I think European countries.
Anyone, yeah.
Started farming with dairy. And then they consumed more dairy. And over time, their intolerance to lactose has decreased. And that's one of the recommendations, as I said as well. In someone that feels they're lactose intolerant, giving small amounts of dairy gradually will improve your lactase activity as well over time.
And I think the testimony... These are healthy countries.
Yes.
So you have to ask the question of they, especially the Dutch. I mean, everything's got cheese on it. And look at them, right?
Yeah. And I mean, going back to the African heritage, which is more likely to have lactose intolerance, if you take the products that are consumed, it's amasi. So it's the fermented products. These are very popular in South Africa. And you can understand it because it's got much less lactose in it because of the fermentation. And yogurt as well. So those are foods that are consumed in people with African heritage without any side effects.
And you get that additional and protein with it as well.
And still the benefit of all the micronutrients and everything in the dairy.
The one thing, last thing I'll say, what I like about the French is they also, the art of fermenting grapes, right?
And
Karina, thank you so much. Yeah. That's fascinating. It's really fascinating. Thank you for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, please visit our website at rediscoverdairy.co.za.